Work Done for Hire by Joe Haldeman, narrated by Chris Sorensen.
Sand in the Box. 1. A friend called me this morning and asked whether I could go shooting, and I said no, I couldn't. I made up something about work, but the fact is, I couldn't. I was a sniper in the desert, in this war that it seems no one can really stop. I didn't volunteer for the job, not initially, but I wasn't smart enough to miss the targets in basic training. And sniper sounded cool, so I signed up for the school when they offered it. I count back on all my fingers, and it's been 9 years. Sometimes it feels like yesterday, literally. I wake up in grainy grime and shit smell, the slimy cold of the damned plastic suit. Cold until the sun comes up and tries to kill you. That sounds too dramatic, but I'll leave it. The sun bakes you and broils you and disorients you, and it makes you a target. They have rifles, too. Not so many snipers. In 16 months, I killed maybe 20 people. 16 confirmed. What kind of a prick keeps track? Besides, as often as not, you can't tell. The recoil usually knocks you off the sight picture, and with the scope at maximum power, it takes a second or two to get back. Your spotter will say, "Good shot." But what's he going to say? You're usually shooting at someone who's peeking out of a window or from behind the edge of a wall, and if an ounce and a half of lead buzzes by his ear at the speed of sound, he's not about to stand up and shout, "You missed." So I don't know whether I'm going to burn in hell 16 times or 30 or 40, or whether they even make you burn in hell for not being smart enough to miss the goddamned target in basic training. I suspect I'll go wherever the people I killed went, but I don't expect to meet them. I had a girlfriend all those 16 months, and she emailed me every afternoon, morning her time, and I wrote back whenever I was near a hot spot. We were going to get married. But I know I'm not as nice in person as I am at the keyboard. That must happen all the time. She put up with me for 3 or 4 months after I got out of the hospital. I think she still loved me for maybe half that time. But how long can you love someone who goes into bars just to beat people up? To get drunk enough to start fights, and then cry in movies? You can cry for Bambi or Meryl Streep, but crying in a zombie movie is a symptom that something is loose in your head. That sounds so drama queen. I didn't really get that bad a deal. Wounded once and out. The bullet that blew off my left pinky also smashed a rib and bounced into my left lung, serious enough to get me 6 weeks in Bethesda and an early honorable discharge. 80% disability pays for the rent and groceries and some of the beer. For a few years, the rest of the beer came out of the GI Bill, while I finished college and got an easy master's. When that cow ran dry, I did this and that, temp jobs like typing and answering phones. But I don't take orders well anymore and tend to raise my voice. So I had lots of jobs, none of them for too long. I've always written poetry. Not a fast track to fame and fortune, and started writing stories when I was in the hospital. I actually sold one for $150 before I was out of rehab, so the idea of doing it for a living was pretty natural. How far could it be from Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine to the bestseller list? I still don't know, but it's more than 9 years. I wrote a novel, and it did about as well as most first novels, which is to say my mother bought 10 copies, and a few thousand other people must have thought I was a relative. I did get 2 or 3 good reviews, and a couple of poisonous ones, notably from the Times. It bothers me to know that I probably got into graduate school because I got reviewed in the Times. They hated the book, but evidently thought it was important enough to warn potential readers away. I guess every writer who's been a soldier has to write his war novel. I can't stand to read the damned thing anymore, though I hate to think that maybe the Times was right. Second novels are a hard sell, especially if you don't have cheerful blurbs from the first. "Puerile," shouts the New York Times. "A worthwhile journeyman effort," mumbles Publishers Weekly. My hometown newspaper called it a good read, but I went to high school with the reviewer. So my second novel has been to some of the best addresses in New York, according to my agent, but it hasn't been invited to stay. The agent, Barb Goldman, probably took me on because she's a vet, too. Twice my age, she was in the 100-hour war that started the whole thing, before 9/11 and Gehenna. When I go up to New York, we get drunk together and remember the desert. Old sergeants whom we sincerely hope are dead by now. Drinking with her, I've never felt the crazy urge to fight. Maybe because she's older than my mother and would die of embarrassment. Maybe because the bars we go to are a little nicer than the ones I frequent in Florida. Get into a fight in the Four Seasons and you might hurt somebody who could buy your book. So she called and asked whether I'd like to make some easy money doing work for hire, and of course I said, "Who do you think I am?" She knew exactly who I was and said I could make $50,000, writing a sort of novelization of a movie by Ron Duquest. I said it sounded like a fun way to pay for the next 2,000 cases of beer, and she said that's good, because she'd already accepted. She knew I liked fantasy and horror, and this was going to be a horror movie. And that was not all, not by a long shot. Duquest had asked for me specifically. She showed me the note that had come with the request. "Ronald Duquest, Hollywood. If you got this, you know my number." "I really liked High Kill by your client Jack Daly. Good, natural storytelling talent. Could he write a short book for me? We got an idea sounds right up his alley. A sci-fi monster and a returned vet. I can put a little up front, $10,000 to write the book, and he keeps all the book rights. We'll send another contract if we like the book for a movie. Basically $50,000 for an 18-month option against $500,000 if the movie gets made. Make that start of principal photography. Don't want to haggle, but I have the check right here if you want it. Signed, Duke D." I wasn't sure quite how to take that, but I'd seen several features by Ron Duquest and liked his light touch. I asked her what he meant by a short book, and she said a novella, between 100 and 200 typed pages. Sort of the opposite of what I normally thought of as a novelization, which would be taking an existing movie script and cranking out a novel based on that. This might actually be easier, though. I could probably write 100 pages of acceptable prose in a couple of weeks, for twice what I got for the last novel. It would be a work done for hire in that Duquest would own the copyright. But since I'd keep the book rights and also make a small fortune if a movie came out of it, what the hell? She zapped me the 2-page description. Pretty good story. The main character was my age and had gone to my war. He's a lawyer and a private eye, but unsuccessful. I like that in a lawyer. I spent the morning not writing. I'd never done anything like this, purely commercial stuff, but I had taken a screenwriting course in graduate school, and this was sort of the opposite. So I figured I'd do a diagram first, breaking down the supposed movie into acts and scenes, which I could reassemble into a book narrative. While I was immersed in that, the phone rang, and it was my current pelvic pal, Kit Majors, wondering whether I'd forgotten about lunch. I told her I was on my way out the door, and then I was. I really should make myself notes. It was normally a 10-minute bike ride to the Irish restaurant, but I made it in 5, sweating a little bit. When I walked in, she signaled the bartender, and he started tapping me a Guinness. I was actually going to get us a nice bottle of wine to celebrate, but that could come later. Kit liked to be in control, which was usually okay with me. We kissed. I got a job. Jesus, you're kidding. Someone put up a plaque. You peasants may laugh, but in fact it is a real job, real money. I'm going to be a literary prostitute for 50 large, as much as a 500,000 down the road. Wow. Room in that bed for another one? Kit was a poet as well as a mathematician. You wouldn't want to do it. Novelization of a horror movie. Ooh, people who go to those things read books? Big words and all. This one's by Ron Duquest. I'm supposed to know who that is. He did the Bradbury remake you liked, Dandelion Wine. That wasn't horror. Depends on what scares you. The bartender brought the beer and took our food order, a steak for her and a Cobb salad for me. You're going to waste away. Not for a while. I've always been what they call big-boned, but had never had to watch my diet until the past year or so. I had to admit, I was getting paunchy. Your mother called. What? She called you? She gave me a look. No, she called the bartender. I couldn't help but overhear. All right. She always calls my cell, but I turn it off when I'm working. She said you promised to fix the porch once it stopped raining. Oh, shit. Of course I'm going to fix the goddamn porch. It's not like I had to write a book or something. I could come help. Nothing to it, really. Replace a step and stain it, but... yeah, I could use the company. Talk to Mom, distract her. Tell her about our sex life? No, she snores. You drive over? What, you biked? 200 calories. And the guy in the screenplay bikes. We could swing by Hawkeye's and pick up a plank and some stain, then go surprise the old lady. You pay for lunch? I'm a big Hollywood guy now. We always pay for lunch. Yeah, but you get blowjobs. I rolled my eyes at her. Everything has a price in this sorry world. The Monster by Christian Daly. Chapter 1. He was so big that people couldn't help staring at him. If you guessed his weight, you might say 400 pounds, but it was more like 5. A relatively large head with small features pinched in the middle. Straggly long hair and no eyebrows. Ugly as hell. If he were on a television show, he'd have a sweet disposition. In real life, he was quite otherwise. On police blotters in 4 states, he was called Hunter. He was a monster, so far uncatchable, unobserved.